Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football, and there is so much to get to after the first open practice of Packers 2014 happening yesterday. OTAs taking place, organized team activities taking place in Green Bay. An exciting time. We have so much to talk about. There's Micah Hyde at safety. There's Julius Peppers in action. There's B.J. Raji at nose tackle. There's JerMichael Finley getting cleared by his doctors. There's Clinton Dix signing his first NFL contract. There's plenty of directions we can take today's show. And for the first time in a long time, I've opened up the phone lines here at Cheesehead TV. You can see it there at the bottom of the screen. If you want to call in to today's show, feel free to call us 347-268-6304. It's always kind of a mixed bag when I open up the phone calls on Railbird Central. I think as a podcast, sometimes a lot of listeners don't listen to the show live, so they don't really have the opportunity to call in. We'll see. If you want to talk Packers football, tell me what's on your mind. I'll be happy to take your phone calls today. But until that happens, there's plenty to discuss. And I think one of the more interesting developments from Thursday's organized team activity practice was seeing Micah Hyde at the safety position. It had kind of been hinted at all off season long, going back as far as the NFL Combine back in February. Remember, Mike McCarthy was asked about it and called it an option. And then, you know, people, I think, kind of put it on the back burner a little bit, seeing as the Packers drafted Clinton Dix in the first round of the NFL draft. So I think people kind of assumed, myself included, that Clinton Dix would line up next to Morgan Burnett in the starting lineup. I assumed Clinton Dix would be the starter from day one. I realize that it isn't often the Packers insert a rookie into the starting lineup on day one. Just, you know, so many times they're rookies and they're just not ready at this time of year, you know, in May and June. Eventually they might get there after a couple months in the system and they know the playbook and et cetera. But I just thought, you know, there's lack of depth at the safety position. There's an obvious open spot in the starting lineup now that MD Jennings is gone. I thought, you know, that there's a reason the Packers made Clinton Dix a first-round draft choice. I thought he would be out there with the starters yesterday. That wasn't the case. It really caught me by surprise that the Packers had Micah Hyde at the safety position with the first string yesterday. And it really does make sense. I understand why the Packers are doing it. I don't know how long that will last. You know, I think at some point, Clinton Dix is going to become the starter, and I don't think it's going to take too long. But for the time being, Micah Hyde in there with the first string, and that's good, I think. I mentioned this in a column just earlier this week at Cheesehead TV, that by putting Hyde at safety, there was such a lack of depth at the position that, you know, let's just assume for a second. Just assume, and I don't think this is going out on a limb at all. Let's assume Clinton Dix and Morgan Burnett are your starters. Well, what happens if one of them gets injured? Either one of them. Doesn't matter which one. Who comes into the lineup then? You know, I guess you can put Sean Richardson. He's got a little bit of experience at the safety position. but by no means am I 100% sold on Sean Richardson. I think it's great that the Packers are, you know, kind of trying to build up the depth at safety here. I think Micah Hyde can very much be the number three safety. Who knows, maybe even better than that with a little bit of seasoning and a little bit of development. You know, Morgan Burnett didn't exactly light the world on fire last year. He's definitely going to get another shot to prove he can get the job done, especially seeing as he got that large contract last offseason. But, I think Micah Hyde, he's shown to be very much a physical defensive back. He's a guy that isn't afraid to hit. He was probably the best hitter among all players at the cornerback position last year. And I think that translates well to safety, obviously. It's a little bit more physical position, especially if you're asked to be kind of a strong safety, come down in the box, do those kind of things. But there's plenty for Micah Hyde to learn. I mean, it's different than playing cornerback, you know, especially when you're playing that deep safety position where you're lining 10 yards up off the ball. I mean, that's just different than getting in a guy's face at the line of scrimmage. You know, different angles, different responsibilities, all sorts of different things there. So that's great that the Packers are using this time period in the offseason, in May and June, to get him ready for that role. And again, it's not to say this is a full-time move. Pretty much the coaches, from the interviews that I've read from the various media outlets, and there's so many good beat writers covering the Packers proceedings, you know, and you know, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Green Bay Press Gazette, ESPNWisconsin.com, PackerReport.com, you name it, and that's it doesn't end there. But, you know, a lot of those reports, you know, with the coaches saying that they're not precluding Micah Hyde from playing cornerback. He got plenty of experience there last year, especially, you know, kind of the nickel and dime roles, defending the slot from the cornerback position. But also, you know, would practice certainly as a perimeter corner, and now he's getting time at safety as well. He's just becoming a very versatile player, and you know, I think that's great that he's doing that. The Packers are doing that. Because I think the safety position needs depth badly. You know, you kind of hope maybe some of these guys emerge and play a role like Chris Banjo, like some of the undrafted rookies they brought in, like Tanner Miller, Charles Clay. But, you know, there's no guarantees there by any means that those guys will even make the roster. So to have Micah Hyde on the team, a guy who can play any position pretty much in the defensive secondary in a pinch, that's a great thing to have. Great development from Thursday's practice, I think, to see that. Even though Clinton Dix signed, the report is he agreed to terms. I checked out yesterday's NFL transaction wire. Clinton Dix wasn't listed, so he hasn't actually put pen to paper yet and signed the contract. But apparently the report is from Yahoo Sports that Clinton Dix has agreed to terms and it'll pay him more in excess of $8 million over the first 4 years of his contract. And again, it's one of those situations where we kind of saw for the first time here as part of the NFL's latest collective bargaining agreement. Eventually, the Packers will have a fifth-year option to keep Clinton Dix under team control for a fifth year. But that's not something that you find out till down the road. It's a four-year contract for sure, and then down the road, I think it's after their third season, you decide whether or not you want to exercise the option of a fifth year. Pretty far stuff down the road here, but agreeing to terms reportedly yesterday is the Packers' first round draft choice and presumed starter by me, if nobody else, presumed starter in the Packers secondary. It'll be interesting to watch Micah Hyde, Ha-Ha Clint Dix, see if any sort of battle takes place there. You know, I think part of the reason they Ha-Ha Clint Dix isn't, you know, in the game, it wasn't in the, you know, starting lineup or with the running with the ones, as they say, at yesterday's practice, is it, you know, it's only been, what, 3 weeks since he's been drafted or whatever. It just hasn't had that much time to digest the playbook and really know what's going on. And it's not like he's not getting practice at it. It's just not coming with the first string. And you know, saying somebody's playing with the first string means so little, especially at this time of year. The purpose of organized team activities, as coaches will tell you, is to get every player better. Now when training camp rolls around, we're talking July, August, September, the purpose then is to prepare the starters, the guys who will be playing out on the field. It's the, you know, the guys further down the roster are more or less relegated to scout team, things like that. Not that they're neglected entirely, but at this time of year, during the off season, you know, it's not like starters are getting a ton of time and the younger guys aren't. It's everybody almost getting equal time, equal opportunities. The purpose is just to get every player better. And then they let, you know, battles take place in training camp and you know, work with the starters more so in training camp and the guys who will see the field. This time of year, everybody, you know, basically gets equal snaps. Even, you know, they might acknowledge, you know, okay, first team gets the first snap, but the guys who are on second and third team, they're still getting the same amount of snaps. They're just coming after the first team. So, you know, I thought that was one big, big development. And again, if you want to call in, I'm actually taking phone calls today, 347-268-6304. I got it there at the bottom of the screen here on our live stream platform at Cheesehead TV. If you want to talk about Packers OTAs, feel free. I'll talk about them with you. Otherwise, I'll just keep rambling on here as well. You know, yesterday we saw Julius Peppers, if you were in Green Bay, you saw Julius Peppers in action for the first time in a Packers uniform. Yeah, he's been taking part in the Packers offseason program for a few weeks now, but being the first open practice of the 2014 season, people got to see him in action for the first time. As expected, he was out there working with the linebackers group, working with Winston Moss. You know, nothing unexpected. I think, you know, there were some comments from coaches yesterday, and again, in a variety of media outlets, talking about how they'll use Peppers and how basically his, you know, addition is changing the face of the Packers defense in general. Something about basically more packages, less volume, something like that. You know, the Packers want to simplify things, but, you know, have different looks at the same time. You know, they were just so hamstrung last year, you know, partially because of hamstring injuries, but so many players being injured last year and the Packers being forced to rely on rookies instead of veteran players who should have and could have been out on the field had they not been injured. Well, hopefully the Packers will stay healthier this year, and they bringing in a guy who, although he's getting old at 34, relatively old for a professional football player, Julius Peppers has always been a guy who's always, almost always stayed healthy, always been available and always playing. And it's interesting, you know, I think a lot of people pointed out yesterday, it was interesting to see a guy who's 6'7" and 287 pounds or whatever, however much Julius Peppers weighs, line up at the linebacker position, more or less, one of the largest linebackers to ever play the game. You know, people that size basically considered defensive linemen. But I guess I suppose it depends on what kind of defense you run. I don't expect Julius Peppers to be dropping in coverage very often as a linebacker. You know, maybe the occasional time he'll do that. But, you know, they're going to use him as a pass rusher and obviously having to defend the run. But that's up to the offensive team to figure out when he does which. But anyway, yeah, I mean, the big news was just seeing Julius Peppers in action. Obviously, I don't think the Packers coaches gave away any secrets yesterday as to what kind of specific schemes and packages and blitzes and whatever that they have in store for 2014. It was a neat opportunity to see him in action. Julius Peppers, I know he ended up talking about how he's never been lined up across from such a productive player in his life. And he was speaking in regards to Clay Matthews and how much that could be able to help him as a player. Perhaps a little bit of a dig at his former Bears employer in that he's never lined up across from a premier pass rusher before. You know, basically the same thing has happened in Green Bay with Clay Matthews has never really lined up across from a premier Pro Bowl type of, you know, corresponding outside linebacker before. So, you know, you could consider that a dig, but it's just also reality as well. So, Peppers in the green and gold yesterday for the first time. Speaking of Clay Matthews, I guess we could go over a little bit of a roll call here and talk about the players that, you know, did not participate yesterday, Clay Matthews being among them. And I think I wrote them down here just to rattle these guys off. Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, Andrew Quarles, Brandon Bostic, and Jonathan Franklin. So there you go. There's five players who basically sat out of practice with injuries for the Green Bay Packers yesterday at their first open practice. Clay Matthews, of course, breaking his thumb twice last year. He's had, you know, surgical procedures to repair it. The Packers just not taking any chances at this time of year with Clay Matthews. I'm sure there's things he can do as far as conditioning goes. But they don't want him out there using his hands whatsoever. They just want that thing to heal and be ready for the regular season. I'm sure when training camp rolls around, Clay Matthews will be out there and taking part. I don't know if it'll be slow at first, but, you know, don't expect Clay Matthews to be taking part in much at all here in the offseason in the May and June time frame, OTAs, minicamp, etc. I was a little bit disappointed not to see two guys practice yesterday, Andrew Quarles and Nick Perry. And I realized they both have dealt with, you know, injuries in the past and Quarles, you know, having that major injury. What was it 2 years ago where he, you know, screwed up his knee, tore multiple ligaments in his knee, and Nick Perry last year breaking the bone in his heel. These are no small injuries that they're dealt with, and Nick Perry breaking, what was it, his wrist before that, the season before as a rookie. They're bringing these guys along slowly. I would have thought that their injuries took place far enough ago that they would be able to take part in OTAs. I guess that's the disappointing part. But I, you know, it's one practice yesterday. I'm not going to get too up in arms over these guys missing one practice. For all we know, next week they'll be back in action. But even if they're not, is it really a big deal? The more important thing is that they're ready to go by the time training camp comes around, and they'll be ready to contribute then. More understandable for guys like Brandon Bostic, Jonathan Franklin. Both, you know, landed on injured reserve last year. Bostic with a foot issue, Franklin with his neck. I'm a little bit worried about Jonathan Franklin in that, I worry that there's something wrong with his spine, and the Packers haven't really been talking about it too much. I just wish I would know what's specifically wrong there and what's keeping him out. That might make me feel a little bit better knowing the specifics of what's going on. But we'll see as time goes along here. Next Packers open practice would be next Tuesday, I believe, that the Packers have practice open to the public, and we'll be able to see what's going on. Colt Lyerla, so also seeing him for the first time, the undrafted rookie formerly of Oregon, ended up leaving that program, but people got to see him in action for the first time yesterday. Also met the Wisconsin media for the first time. And again, basically things were as expected, in that, I think Lyerla said all the right things. He wants to put the past behind him and focus on football. But I think more than that, I think what you're seeing is a very supporting environment for Colt Lyerla. And a couple of, things happened yesterday that were, rather notable. For one, the reports that I've heard, Colt Lyerla made a leaping catch at practice yesterday, and being open to the public, fans in the stands went up in cheers when he made a good play. And Colt Lyerla talked about that in an interview, and how he feels supported, and that alone is so important for putting his past behind him, his troubled past behind him, and just, focusing on the job at hand, focusing on football, because that's going to be the most important thing to him as a human being. And then Mike McCarthy was asked about Colt Lyerla yesterday, and McCarthy talked about providing a support system for him, and talked about the guys who are able to provide, any help he needs, such as Rob Davis, such as Doug Collins. And these are people in the Packers, basically front office, that, anything a player needs outside the game of football, these are guys that they can go to and get help and get resources and whatever. And I'm sure guys who were very much involved with getting Johnny Jolly back on track last year, and just helping every player on the team in general. And that really was, I think, an important moment yesterday, to hear Mike McCarthy support him, and Colt Lyerla just, going out there and practicing, and not worrying about the past, and putting it behind him, and focusing on football. Good to see. Good to see from both a Packer fan standpoint, for the sake of the team, and just, seeing Colt Lyerla get on track as a human being. You wish the best for everybody in the world. I do. That they, anybody who's had troubles in the past, that, sometimes things are bigger than football, and they just getting their life on track is an important thing as well. What else happened yesterday? We saw BJ Raji at nose tackle. I know Raji talked to the media and talked about how he wanted to play nose tackle and is glad he's back there. Also mentioned that he received other interest in free agency other than the Packers, and that he chose to come back to Green Bay. Now, it's difficult to say exactly what extent the interest was. Maybe there were a lot of teams out there that were willing to pay BJ Raji $1 million to come play for them. But the Packers offering $4 million, just under a 1 year kind of prove it deal, perhaps that proved a little bit more tempting. But I think BJ Raji was glad to see himself back at nose tackle, and that factored into the decision as well. Thinks he can play a little bit better there than he had at end the past few seasons. Hopefully that's the case, and we'll see as time goes on here. whether or not that happens, but certainly the 2013 season was not a good one for BJ Raji. But 2014, he's hoping is, and you know, will be very important to him. It's it, his next contract basically depends upon it. So there's a lot of motivation involved for BJ Raji this season. And finally, I guess if we want to end with one thing today here, Jermichael Finley, not really having anything to do with OTAs. He's still a free agent, still on the open market. But his agent, Blake Baratz, goes on Pro Football Talk Live, PFT Live yesterday, and tells, I believe, Mike Florio that Jermichael Finley has been fully medically cleared by his own surgeon, Dr. Joseph Maroon, who just so happens to be the team neurosurgeon for the Pittsburgh Steelers, also the surgeon that performed Jermichael Finley's spinal fusion surgery after last season's injury to his neck. Now, take this all with a grain of salt. Just because Jermichael Finley has been cleared by his own medical doctor doesn't mean the Packers have to clear him or that they have to sign him. It could just simply be a case where the Packers are uncomfortable clearing him and wanting to put him in a position where there could be one hit and could be paralyzed for the rest of his life. You know, that could be a situation the Packers don't necessarily want to face. Now, I'm not saying that's the case here. They've kind of wanted to take a long time here to let him recover as much as possible and then gauge where he's at. Kind of interesting that this news comes just on the heels of him apparently visiting Green Bay. Don't really know why the Packers, you know, where they are in terms of if there's interest in signing him or not, or if there's interest in clearing him, when they want to make this decision by. No deadline has been said, or, you know, nobody said anything about any sort of deadline that's taking place. Apparently, Jermichael Finley's agent also said that his client will be visiting a mystery team on Friday, today, and who really knows what that all entails. I guess there's interest from other NFL teams, and that's understandable. Whether or not they're comfortable in clearing Finley as well, we'll see. But Finley maintains he wants to come back. I sometimes wonder myself whether he should, seeing as he has a $10 million insurance disability policy. If he never plays again, he makes $10 million. If he doesn't, that would seem to be rather tempting, especially considering the serious nature of his injury. But anyway, you know, that's where we're at with Jermichael Finley. His future in Green Bay still far from certain, and still far from over. I mean, hey, I don't know. This could change in a moment's notice where all of a sudden he goes on his free agent visit today. They clear him, and he wants to sign a contract. Who knows? Things could move rather quickly. But for the time being, he's still on the open market. The Packers haven't given indication that they're going to sign him, but haven't ruled out signing him either. So it's just a decision we continue to monitor here, I guess, until something more definitive actually happens. But hey, that'll do it on a Friday morning edition of Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV. Nobody called today. I open up the phone lines. Nobody wants to actually talk football with me. But, oh well, that's all right. I guess being a podcast, that's kind of how things work, right? But have a good weekend, everybody. We'll see you later. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirivu. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV for all your news needs all week long. And we'll be back on Monday, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time is when we air the show live here at Cheesehead TV. I leave you today with a song called Kidney in a Cooler by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go. Thank you.